CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Dee-dee-dee, 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 dee-dee. Yes, we are live. It is CliffCentral.com on a Thursday morning. It's the 22nd of October already. Yes, those last 2 months of the year are just a couple of days away. Isn't that frightening? You know, one of the benchmarks of this year has been that I've kind of used the U.S. presidential election as a, you know, that's going to happen in the future. And after that, we can get to some semblance of normality. But I don't know if that's going to happen, huh? Because now, you know, they're talking about how there's mail-in voting and people are going to be counting them for weeks. There's going to be a whole lot of court challenges against the elections, no matter what the results. So I don't know. It sounds to me like we're going to be in this little mousetrap for a long time still. Good morning, everybody. We got Pumi Mashiko. We've got Mbulelo Tinta. We've got Sia Sangweni. We've got me and you, most importantly. And we are live this morning. How are you, Pums?
Good.
Hey, Sia, how's it? Pumi, people were giving you lots of compliments, huh? We can't hear you. You got to unmute yourself, Pums.
That's 10 rand
in the jar. 10 rand in the jar for Pumi this morning. Yeah, okay, hang on. Let me try and see if I can get you unmuted. Ah, there we go. Now you're on. Are you on now?
Am I?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's fantastic. Bulelo, how are you?
I'm always
It gives
well.
Me such anxiety, guys.
Why? Because people are complimenting you.
Did you see me get my lipstick? Did you see me go and get my lipstick just
I'm
now?
Very,
it's 6 in the morning.
I know. Who does this, right? It's ridiculous. Well,
the life we take ourselves.
I sometimes look at what this crazy year has done to people. And I think some of it might be good. But I think a lot of it has been really, really bad. Bulelo, I think you've taught me a couple of things in this lockdown. You've taught me that drinking shit coffee is just not worth it.
Oh, God. Take yourself seriously.
Yeah.
I can't take you seriously if you don't take yourself seriously.
I mean, if you are drinking that chicory stuff that you buy in a bottle that most people are happy to do and they go, oh, I need a cup of coffee and they have that. I'm always like, you know, you're going to have maybe one cup of coffee in a day. Some people have more, obviously. Why make it shit?
Quality over quantity, always. Quality over quantity. We live in a society that's driven by what they call conspicuous consumption. No, don't do it. Quality,
and then always go
quality.
And then you and Ben have also shown me that you can use this time productively. You don't have to sit and feel sorry for yourself and mope and whinge. You can actually make it a time to improve your physical condition, your mental condition, your psychological condition. I mean, all of this stuff is an opportunity rather than something to moan and wail about.
You know where I think I've been really fortunate speaking to you and my friends? I've been spending quite a lot of time over the last few years on that process. So I came into lockdown with the mindset,
with that
mindset already. It's very difficult to try and start that. And I feel sorry for people that were in a spiral. So... yeah, no, thanks for that, and I'm really glad I am, because I know a lot of people are struggling.
I would never have said something as complimentary as that at the beginning of lockdown. See how I've grown as a person. Pumi, what were you going to say, Pumi? What were you going to say, Pums?
I was going to say, so I don't have a coffee machine at home, right? Mm. Because I always drink coffee at the studio, I drink coffee at the office or whatnot. Yeah, the coffee thing is, and so I don't keep in the house, really, because, you know.
Let me tell you the secret. Don't need excuses. Quality plunger is actually as good as you can get. And don't get a rubbish plunger. I spent my plunger that I have here at the office, I've spent far too much money on it. I eat baked beans and toast at home because I spend so much money on it. But quality plungers is actually the right way to go.
And you use the coffee, what is it, like the ground? Coffee.
Yeah, ground coffee. And when you do order coffee, by the way, there's two different ways for it to get ground, one for machine, one for plunger. Make sure your supplier knows that you're using a plunger and it's not for a machine.
You're a proper aficionado, hey?
quality. All about quality.
If you were a meth, if you were a meth head, you'd have like a selection of bongs.
That escalated quickly.
I'm just thinking, like, who else do we know who's like really into their thing, and probably drug addicts, even cigarettes. You know, during...
Listen, good. Well said. If I'm gonna put it in my body, quality. I will spend money. If I'm gonna put it into my mouth, whatever it may be, if it's gonna go into my body, quality. Always.
How do you like that, Sia? You're pulling faces, Sia. Are you making fun of Mbulelo?
Me make fun of NKT? Never.
Guys, can we talk about something I posted yesterday on Instagram? Someone sent me a picture of Ellen DeGeneres. She's got a new haircut.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. So let me show you this picture quickly. I wonder if you can see that. All right, so there's Ellen. Okay. So I said...
It's Gareth Cliff.
I don't know if it's the Gareth Cliff, but I said, looks like Ellen has gone full Builder's Warehouse Alberton for the new season. She's clearly getting ready to kick some snowflake staff ass. How do you like that?
Here's Ellen. Ellen's joined me in studio here.
Oh, please.
Listen.
See, I don't want to get in trouble with my alpha.
How old is Ellen again?
She's past 60.
Okay.
Really?
And my dad's age. I always forget this.
She's not bad.
Wow.
She's not bad for that age, huh? You know,
past 60.
Yeah.
Sia
and I were talking about this. So we're thinking of doing a TV show about like how age is just a number. And we're looking for really interesting examples of people who are, you know, in their 80s and are, because you get a good 80 and you get a terrible 80. Like you get those gogos who are like, yo, they passed it. When they talk, then the whole head shakes from side to side. And they wag their finger at people like this because they've got like a terrible shake. But then you get those 80-year-olds like, yo, there's some of them who are, they are livelier than some of the 50-year-olds I know.
Right.
Remember we had Reverend Chabaku when you had your first TV show, Gareth.
Do you remember Reverend Chabaku?
And she was pretty old.
She was ancient
she was
at the time, but she was lively.
Fiery.
Yeah, I like that. So the reason I brought up Ellen is because this new look is very scary. she's never looked scary before. But the fact is, like she looks damn good for her age, and she's got
she does.
Yeah, she's got a lot of energy, and clearly she's not giving up. It's almost like
if she didn't look good, Portia de Rossi would have left her long ago. Yeah. Portia de Rossi has options. You better believe that.
Oh, for sure, 100%.
But I also feel like there is a good age. There's good for your age. There's bad for your age, and then there's the new definition for your age. I don't exactly think Ellen looks rich. She's not like a crazy 65. She's a 62, rather. I think she's a 62 expected in the year 2020.
Yeah.
Like someone who I'm surprised to find out is actually 50. Taraji P. Henson, she recently turned 50 a few years
ago. Oh, really?
I think that's a great 50.
Oh, that's good.
Did you see the Vogue pictures? Did you see the Vogue pictures of? Naomi Campbell?
See, now that's a great 40.
Well, listen.
No, she's 50. She's 50.
Let me tell you. I mean, she's a supermodel in her prime.
True story.
So what do you expect? I mean, she's bound to look good. I always say Jane Fonda and. You know, those kinds of people, just because they were models, they were so good looking in their 20s and 30s, and they've managed to maintain that. It just shows you that, I mean, again, like these people are, somehow they've just looked good the whole way into their 80s, for heaven's sake. I think that's amazing.
They totally won the lotto. They won that, like,
genetics.
DNA lotto.
So I'm really hoping that lasts. For me and for you.
You know who else had a birthday who is South African? Justice Yvonne Mokgoro. It was her birthday on Monday.
From the Constitutional Court.
She, and she turned 70.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily tell. I'm going to find a picture, show you a picture. Yeah. She could easily, you could, if you said to somebody, oh, she's like 52,
yeah,
nobody would say no. Nobody would say no. She looked amazing.
Yeah, if you can, if you can think of, if you could think of any, wow, look at that. Yeah, she looks good. She really does look good.
70, guys.
Hmm.
Wow, that hair.
Yeah, the hair is phenomenal. The hair is very, it's very 1960s and 70s, but she's in her 70s, so it makes it impressive.
But it's an important thing, you know, is you, if you're going to marry somebody, meet their parents. I've always said this. Just so you know, we don't want to hear you when we're turning 50 and 60 and now you're crying about what your wife or husband looks like. Look ahead and you've got that option. And it's important, by the way.
That was always my dad's thing.
Yes,
my dad was very adamant about, not even just meet the parents. My dad was like, you got to meet the old people. You got to meet the grannies and the uncles. And the, those are the people you, then you have a bit of a benchmark and you know where you, when this is going.
So, ladies, just a scientific fact, if you want to produce kids that are actually going to be improving the human race, is no son will ever be shorter than their mother. That is a biological fact.
Really?
So go ahead and do that. And if you want to produce an athlete and maybe live off them from around 60 years old, do that.
Live off them.
Oh, see, when Mbulelo, I tried to do that. I thought I was going to live off my child. I've life. He's just 13, and all his life I've been trying to find the thing that I can put him to work with so that I can just like be a mominger.
Yeah. That would be nice. So being rich,
it's been 13 years, I haven't found it.
Being rich, according to Hellman, is how you can afford to look young. Have you seen poor people of 30? They look 80. That's the point. That's the point of money.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Have you guys seen David Attenborough? For 90 plus, he is with it and extremely mobile. Yeah, he's great, hey. Oh, wow.
That's a great.
Although his voice does have that quiver now. His voice does have that old people like shake.
Yeah, it does. But it was bound to happen. 90. Listen, if you get to 90 before it starts to shake, that's impressive.
I have a 93-year-old sage in my life. The quintessential Jewish woman, but she could be 50, by the way.
And oh, yeah?
She said what's kept her young. Her golden rule, not sure if I've told you before, is your first marriage is for money, second one for love, and she said that's what's kept her young. And she always says it. And Rose is one of my absolute favorites. So she's my sage when I'm really going through it. 93, she could be 50.
Wow. Okay.
Still walks every day, promenade by herself.
Huh.
My grandmother, it's her birthday on Sunday. And she turns 95.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite a thing.
Wow, for me.
But what has been astounding for me to watch is how over the past 2 years maybe.
Yes.
She's had an exponential deterioration of her mental state. Her body is still there, right? But oh my God. She's now tired. She's tired of everybody's bullshit.
Well, I think I reached that point in my late 30s.
She's had enough.
I got upset with people and got bored with people in my, probably mid-30s.
She's totally tired. And so about 2 years ago, she still would kind of engage you in a conversation and then feel like halfway through, she'd just be like, fall asleep.
Well, Pumi, listen to this, because you've got lots of reasons to feel very proud of yourself for waking up and putting on that lipstick this morning. Adrian says, man, damn, Pumi is such a hottie. Carrie says, morning all, Pumi is gorgeous. Lubabalo says, and Pumi looks 28.
Sure.
That's it. That's 28.
Nice. That's nice.
I was actually just over 15 when I had kind of. Yes.
Now, did you guys hear yesterday's show where Sia revealed that he had shat his pants at work once, which none of us knew about until yesterday?
What?
Yes. No, this is not going to go away anytime soon, Sia. Sia apparently shat himself at the office once a couple of years ago, back like, what, 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's still a big story. And I want to pick up on something that Bulelo didn't get in on yesterday because he wasn't on the show. But boarding school, and we want to talk a little bit about telling on, because Sia went and told his dad that he was being bullied. And then his dad obviously made it much worse. But Bulelo says, obviously, if you're going to tell your dad, you are going to make it much worse.
Listen, there are a lot of the kids in the inner city, middle class and upwards, you need to send them to boarding school. And I always say to parents, some parents do come to me and ask me, what do you think of boarding school? I say, if you send your children to boarding school, do not pick up the phone.
Yes,
the worst
leave
thing
them.
You can do, especially in first and second form, the worst thing you can do is mommy, wah, I'm crying, and pick up the phone. Because when you leave that child, believe you me, I went through it. And I mean, I wasn't a whinger. My parents weren't around to save me. But number one, little city slicker, think I knew it. I went to a boarding school with farm boys, took a beating for the first 6 months because I thought I could talk nonsense like we're on Twitter.
Yeah.
The farm boys around. Great thing for me. Put me in my place early. But my parents were never around to pick up the phone. So I had to sort it out myself. And when you tell on, by the way, and mommy arrives, I'm telling you, when you leave, let me tell you something. So you to see no, you go, I, oh, your dad, are you joking?
Yeah, I think it depends what sort of parent you are. Like, if
what?
I have,
insane.
What do you mean?
That is insane. If you're being bullied, you tell your parent.
He's a parent. No.
Yeah, I guess we're in that time. I'm just telling you, if you send your kids to boarding school, don't pick up the phone, is all I'm saying. Otherwise, it is exponentially worse.
So I brought this up because I knew this would be a massive source of contention. So, all right, go at it, Pums. Tell Mbulelo what you think of his point of view, and then he can retaliate.
Mbulelo, so in 19 Futsek, it might have been acceptable to take a beating
right,
from the farm boys.
Yeah.
But there are other ways of solving life's issues, really. And if your child is being bullied, if your child is being bullied, you should have a good enough relationship with your child that they can come to you and talk to you about it. And then what you do with it, I think, is important, because you have to give your child the tools to deal with those situations. How do they deal with the situation? But you can't not tell the school. You have to hold them fucking responsible for the fact that you have sent your child there and you're paying them money. They must keep your child safe. Bloody hell.
And I understand that where the world's ideal, but the world is real.
I am going there. I would be with my hazards on down that N3 on my way to that school. And I would first start by kicking the ass of the little shit that thinks they can put hands on my child.
So you would, in other words, you would be a bully to the bully.
I would show them what it feels like to be bullied.
See,
this is for my beautiful thing, really it is, but don't think it works.
With my hazards on like this, all the way down that N3. Every ticket along the way.
You see, I'm not a parent. I'm not a parent, so I'm in no position to offer any advice on this matter. But I will have this to say, having experienced school, I think that kids have to figure out their own, like dogs have to figure out which dog is in charge, and they have to. There has to be a pecking order. Kids figure out their hierarchies this way, And if the parent interferes, it makes it worse for the kid, not better. I'm not talking, Pumi, we're not talking about physical. We're not talking about physical abuse. Well, you'd be surprised how much we're like dogs. I don't want physical abuse here. And I mean, if people are beating a kid up and ruining their life every day, that's not good. But, you know, the kind of thing that passes for bullying these days is like being made a joke of when you've done something stupid and embarrassing, which should be part of growing up. Otherwise, you don't figure out what is and isn't appropriate social behavior. And these days, parents, especially these helicopter parents, say that everything is bullying. You know, if someone says to your kid, ha ha, you got 30% for that test, you dumbass, that's bullying. When actually, that's exactly what happens at school, and that's how children learn humility.
That's why you've got to be able to come and talk to you about it. I mean, look at Ruth I love the point that Rebellious Ruth is putting out on here. Is you've got to be able to say to your child, what's the problem?
Yeah.
What's the problem? What's the genesis of the problem? And how would you solve it? What do you think the best way to solve this problem is? Would you like me to come to that school? Would you want me to say, do you want me to come like down like a ton of bricks? No? Okay, great. So how are we going to solve it? How do you remove yourself from the situation if you need to remove yourself from the situation?
Right.
Or how do you change that perspective? But not everybody's going to be your friend. And if you don't like this person, don't be around that person. If they're willing. And there's a kid who Kanego is friends with, and they're two boys.
Mm-hmm.
The one seems to be an absolute terror, even to his own brother. Wants to go to the bike park, he wants to have a birthday party, go to the bike park, whatever. So he tells me all the people that he's inviting, and he's not inviting the brother. I was like, you can't do that. You can't invite one and not the other. And he straight up said to me, I don't like him. Also, he's mean. He's mean to his own brother. I don't want him there. I want to have fun with my friend.
Yeah.
And he is mean to his brother, so he's not coming to my party.
It's such a difficult job as a parent to figure out what is teasing, which is acceptable, and what is bullying, which is not acceptable. But there's a gray area between the two where I actually think I'm on Bulelo's side. Like, the less parenting that's involved in that area as the kids try to figure out their own place in society, I say the better. I mean, my parents, I didn't tell them when I had a shit day at school. I didn't need to.
Why not?
Well, because mostly it wasn't their business. And like, I was dealing with that shit myself. So I would figure it out. And obviously different kids deal with this in different ways. There are kids who are extremely vulnerable, who need, they need a bit of guidance. They need a bit of help. There are kids who would prefer to discuss this stuff with their parents. I would get home after a day where maybe someone had said something shit to me. I wouldn't feel the need to bring that up to my mom and dad. And it wasn't because it was going to have lasting psychological problems for me or be the source of lasting psychological problems. It was because that was what happened. I saw it happen to other kids. Kids that were as popular, that were more popular, that were less popular, that were having more fun, that were having less fun. Kids who were really ahead of me emotionally in some ways. And I had friends. I had a wide variety of friends. And being taken the piss out of, being mocked and ridiculed sometimes, teaches you not only how to do that in the real world, which is going to happen because people are not always friendly. And kids especially are mean as hell. And I like the fact that Kanego said he didn't want to invite that mean kid. But dealing with mean people is going to be a massive plus in adult life. It's not going to be a minus. If you avoid mean people your whole life long, I don't know if that's a good thing.
I just wanted to ask Pumi as a mother. So I remember having the most powerful conversation I've ever had with my mother. Is she said to me, she knows her things that she's going to impose on me and bring down on me with her upbringing. Is she always feared doing that? And so as a mother, she was always conscious that actually her problem is the umbilical cord needs to be cut from her side, not from my side. And it's something I saw in boarding school. The problem often isn't the kids. It's the kids, they want to sort it out. It's the moms and dads that come and they go, oh, my boo-boo. And they start to impose their traumas on the children of, oh, I'm sensitive. Oh, I have my things. Oh, I have to be seen like this. And I want to tell you right now, the worst thing you can do when your child has conflict from an experience of it was wild out there is go and try and sort it out and get involved with the kid. Because when you leave, you're going to listen. Most of the kids where their parents would pitch up. And when you say spoiled brats, I went to school with the best of them. They're out the school in 6 months.
What's your question?
So my question to you is, do you think maybe the umbilical cord is your side? It's not Kanego's side. Or do you think that's crazy talk, that it's fine for you to go in and manage?
No, so I absolutely get that. In fact, from the minute kids are born, I've always seen it and understood it. From the minute kids are born, they are trying to get away from you, right? So when he's little and he's in your hand, the minute he knows how to crawl, he's always wriggling out of your hand, right? Yeah. And going away or running off. So that's okay. And I also understand that the way you parent is most likely the way you were parented or the way you wanted to be parented. That's the way that you would parent your kids. And one of the things that I then, and I was very lucky for a very long time, for about 3 years, I hosted a parenting show. So I spoke to lots of people about lots of things with regard to parenting. And so I get that. And I get, and which is why I'm clear that what you want is you want to have a good enough relationship with the person that they're able to come to you when they need help. And they're able to share with you whatever's on their mind, whatever's bothering them, whatever makes them happy, and not impose yourself on them. So the reason why, if he says to me, oh, this is what happened, my answer is always, how would you like to solve that problem? How would you like to solve the problem? How do you want me to help you solve the problem? And how do you want to solve the problem? Because it's not my problem. It's not my problem. Uh-huh. And he knows it. He knows that that's how I feel. None of these things are my problem. It's your problem. So how do you want to solve it? All I can give is information and guidance. And I'm happy for him to fall down. I'm happy for him to try things out and fall down. And it's not my problem, guy. not my problem.
Entering the age.
I just have to keep him alive.
Well said. Well said. I just want to finish off on this. For me, if you think your children are mean to your child, is wait until money gets involved and they're 28 and they're 30 and you're not there. If you think that people are mean when you're 13, you've got no idea. You have got no idea, because one day they're going to have to face a guy and maybe they don't pay a bill on time. So you got to let them take that heat. But okay, maybe that just worked for me.
Yeah, but also you're emotionally stunted, so maybe you're not in the position to answer these questions.
Possibly because those farm kids kicked his ass.
Yeah, I did. Maybe. They did.
So Adrian wants our advice and opinion here. So Adrian says, my daughter is in year one, and there is a little boy that she always complains about. He pulls her hair, he pushes her, etc. So I sat her down and told her that he's doing all of that because he probably likes her. As a 7-year-old girl would respond, she goes, ew, no, Dad. So I told her another thing. I said, if he does it again, punch him on the nose.
Yes.
Hopefully she doesn't. Yes. Hopefully she doesn't do that. But I'd rather she did and defends herself than me having to come and kick some kid's ass.
I hope she punches him in the throat. I hope he does that. I hope she does that next time he does it. Just whatever her name is, little Janine. Elbow in the throat.
Right.
You'll never do it again.
Well, not my portion. I don't know.
Life has a sharp end, people. Life has a sharp end.
Out violence or not.
All right. We got to get to some headlines. Do you want to know what's happening in the world?
Yeah, boy.
Let's get cracking.
So, always.
First of all, in KZN, ANC has reinstated corruption-accused Mabuyakulu as a deputy chairperson. Mike Mabuyakulu, he has been put back in his place as deputy chairperson of the region. He and embattled former Etekwini mayor Zandile Gumede were ordered to step aside in August. Both are facing corruption charges and have appeared before the ANC's Provincial Integrity Committee. Mabuyakulu is facing charges of corruption over 28 million rand in the North Sea Jazz Festival tender. Nice. Nice.
Yet my vendor friends couldn't even get me a million rand from VBS.
I know.
28 million.
28 mil. So let's see what happens. But
did you say friends, Mbulelo? I think you need to reassess.
I have a John. I'll protect him with his surname. We said to him, he's the most useless vendor on earth. Oh, they were getting all of that money and you couldn't even get us 1 million.
Shem. Well, listen, you could also go to prison because it seems... Oh, no, sorry, not to prison, but you could be expelled from the ANC. So, I mean, you take your chances, right? I almost want to join the ANC just so that I'd have some immunity. Because it seems to me...
It's a good business move.
Yeah, like joining the ANC is a good way to get ahead in business and never to have to go to jail. So maybe we should all get an ANC membership card. It is a, you know, get-out-of-jail-free card, effectively.
They've got what you might call a robust business plan.
Very much so. So I think today on my agenda of things to do, since yesterday I tidied my cupboards, today I'm going to join the ANC so I can get more business advantage and less jail time. I think that's great.
I think the tender to print the business, to print the membership card has currently lapsed. You know that Luthuli House is struggling to pay lots of bills.
Oh, really?
So I'm just saying.
You mean the people who...
That Luthuli House is struggling tremendously. They've got a 103 million rand court judgment that they have to pay. They paid their salaries late this month. And they still have to pay back South Africa for
that ill-advised
trip to Zimbabwe.
So
not so long ago.
In other words, those.
So I don't know.
What happened to one hand washes the other. So all the people who are benefiting from the tenders don't give the ANC anything back for them to pay their bills. Very rude.
Look, I don't know. I mean, Paul Mashatile is the treasurer general, therefore he is the person in charge of paying the bill. And he's hella quiet these days, hey?
I haven't heard a peep out of Paul Mashatile. But here, listen to this. Self-proclaimed prophet, speaking of corrupt people, Shepherd Bushiri and his wife Mary will have to spend more time in jail. They will be remanded in custody at the Hosi Mampuru prison in Pretoria until Friday. This comes after they appeared in the Pretoria Magistrates Court on Wednesday on charges of fraud, theft, and money laundering. Guess how much? To the tune of over
102 million rand.
What?
Isn't that incredible? Religion is such good business, man.
Oh, dang. Amen.
All I'm saying is you couldn't see that coming. What kind of prophet couldn't see that coming? What kind of prophet couldn't
see that coming? Yeah, correct. You didn't see that prophet coming. Well said.
Yes, correct. According to a high court ruling, their permanent residency remains unchanged. So they're also checking on their status in the country because they are not from here.
But Major One also has a private jet, né?
Mm.
Major One is a flight risk of note, Baba.
Mm.
Excuse me. Wait, I get confused with all of these prophets and who knows. Is Shepherd Bushiri the same person as Major One?
Yes.
Yeah,
he is guy. Major One.
That's an AKA. All right.
Sorry. And by the way, that number is tax-free. That is awesome.
Yes, that's even better. That's the thing about religion is you don't have to declare it.
Ring-fenced.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So Thailand has welcomed its first group of tourists in 7 months as part of an experiment aimed at testing if a wider opening is possible. As the coronavirus has crippled the kingdom's economy, a plane load of 39 Chinese tourists flew into Bangkok's airport on Tuesday evening from Shanghai to a welcome from staff in full protective equipment. The visitors underwent health checks and had their luggage disinfected before donning protective clothing themselves. Sounds horrible. And being whisked away for 2 weeks quarantine. Doesn't that sound horrible? Would you spend your hard-earned money to go on a holiday where you have to wear a hazmat suit?
No.
You want to get out
in of that Thailand heat. That humidity in
horrible.
A hazmat suit. Come
Imagine.
On, guys.
But we know who this is good news.
Fix your poo.
Yeah.
We know who this is good news for. People that just had a bad breakup generally want to move or teach English in Thailand. So shout out to you if you just got out of a bad relationship. Thailand is open for you to go teach English now.
Right. Buildings were torched in Nigeria's biggest city, Lagos, on Wednesday as authorities shut down the economic hub after the shooting of peaceful protesters by security forces. This is turning into a bigger and bigger story every day. 12 people were killed by the Nigerian army and police in two locations in Lagos on Tuesday in a deadly crackdown on demonstrations, Amnesty International said. Peaceful protesters had gathered outside despite a curfew imposed to end spiraling protests over police brutality and deep-rooted social grievances. So let's just be clear, 12 people at least were killed in one day in Lagos. But in America, not even 12 people are killed in a year. 12 unarmed black people are killed in a year, and we have BLM protests. Isn't it weird how this happens in the world? Like, we won't get upset about Nigeria, but we'll get very upset about George Floyd. And if you are a numbers... No, you know what I mean.
People are upset.
Sure, but they're not as upset, and it bothers me that we have this double standard. Here on our own continent, I mean, do you remember people protesting in South Africa? I remember it. They were upset about George Floyd. Let's see if they protest these 12 Nigerians whose names we don't
know. Did you not see the protest yesterday outside the Nigerian embassy in Pretoria?
But those are Nigerians. I want to see South Africans. Let's see if one South African goes out and protests today. See how much we care about our fellow continent, our people on our fellow continent. I'm telling you.
South Africa's busy. We've got our own problems, man.
Yeah, but we managed to take time off. I remember, you know, a contingent of EFF people gathering outside the U.S. embassy saying, get your knee off our necks. And I was like, huh? And let's see if they protest these police killings in Lagos. I'm just saying, it would be an incredible hypocrisy, wouldn't it?
Hey, Gareth.
Telling you.
I'm a bunch of busy. You've got to time these things.
All right. See
these people, their outrages have always got to be timed. They are currently busy being outraged about Senegal. What is your problem? You gave me time for one outrage at a time. Eh?
So we don't know. Yeah, we can't possibly
and
be outraged.
If you remember
correctly,
that George Floyd outrage, né, coincided with lockdowns where everybody was looking for a reason to get out of the house and do something.
This is a great point. This is a great point because we're still debriefing on clicks as well. So is that debriefing?
This is busy, man. See, busy.
Good point.
Black Hawk, where are the minutes from this meeting and the conclusion that I did not get? Okay.
And then, not surprisingly, this is a story that's come up just before the elections in the U.S., but emails appear to have come from a far-right pro-Trump group and were meant to incite unrest, according to Intelligence Director John Ratcliffe. He said U.S. officials found Iran and Russia have obtained some voter registration information. The announcement comes 13 days before the presidential election. He says that the spoof emails, I mean, this is like the phishing emails you get when you check your email in the morning, and it says, you have won X money, we just need your bank details, click here. I mean, if you click on those, you probably should have your money stolen. I know it's not a popular point of view, but I think sometimes traps are set for people to be taken advantage of, and maybe it's not always a bad thing, because those people would lose their money somehow. So if it's going to be through a clever phishing scam, then let it be. And the same goes here for voters in America who are told to click on something and then they're made to think that they voted, but they haven't. So if you don't know how voting works and someone takes advantage of you, too bad. Maybe you shouldn't be voting in the first place. Don't you agree?
Shame.
Yeah. Nature will take its course.
Yeah, you can't protect people from their own stupidity.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I work with a guy that tells me stupidity is a human right. Everybody is entitled to their little bit of stupidity.
Absolutely.
It drives me absolutely insane.
Right. Caleb, who is currently somewhere in Central Asia, says, Pumi will be that lady who runs everything. Bulela will be the keyboard player that gets laid. Sia will be the prophet's right-hand man. Gareth is Major One. Pinky, who we haven't had on the show for a little while, will be the perfect pastor's kid. Leanne would be the pastor's kid that has issues. Gord is the guy who supplies weed to all the kids in the church. And Canton could be the head deacon.
That sounds like the green leaves.
I'll tell you what, we could run a hell of a church.
First lady in those two-piece suits and the hat. That would be me. And the hats with the flower.
Okay.
Amy has something to say. Amy says, morning, everybody. Fact-checking Mbulelo. Church proceeds are not 100% tax-free. Creating categories of donations tax-free. Certain categories carry the same tax as normal business.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, because SARS need money so badly. I wouldn't be surprised if they suddenly decide to tax churches.
You know, SARS needs money so badly. This morning, I actually saw a press statement from the NPA about a certain gentleman out there in the Western Cape who defrauded SARS, VAT, to the tune of some 1.3 million rand.
Yeah.
Easily 1.3 million rand. Prosecuted, and the man will be spending his weekends in prison. for the next 2 years.
Wow.
Every weekend he must true story, he must report to, I think I forgot what the name of the police station he must report to at 6 p.m. on Fridays, and he will be released at 6 a.m. on Mondays. He is to spend his Monday to Friday working to pay back SARS, but on the weekends he shall be incarcerated.
No,
right here in this South Africa. True story.
And Shabir Sheikh is just lowering his golf handicap every weekend.
It's amazing to me. Like, there are people who've defrauded the state of billions. We know who they are. We everybody knows who they are. They know where they live, etc. But if you get your VAT wrong, or maybe this person was, more corrupt than getting their VAT wrong, but they go to jail straight away. They go straight to jail. You mess with SARS, you go to jail. But it seems like any major, major crime, we'll see. Maybe we'll get to you eventually.
We have a guy who's...
Gareth, you run the business.
Yeah.
You know how on the 21st of the month you're supposed to submit your VAT return, you get an email from SARS telling you exactly how much interest they're charging you the day after. I've actually been in a protracted fight with SARS to have a interest charge reversed because it was calculated on the 20th and you're supposed to make the payment on the 25th. And I kept saying, does SARS have profits working for them now? How do they know on the 20th that I'm not going to pay them on the 25th for them to calculate and incorporate this interest on the 20th?
It's amazing how SARS is so efficient again, which is such a problem. Mr. Schmangels says, commenting on something that Bulelo raised earlier, before you get married, he said, you have to look at the mother and then you will know what type of woman you're marrying. That was my mistake, he says. My mother-in-law was a nightmare, and that's exactly what I got in my ex-wife, a nightmare.
That's
what
not
if
a
you were
as
the
well.
Nightmare-inducing individual and you had lots of traits in common with your father-in-law?
We can deal with that as a secondary factor. But if you go and meet the mother-in-law and she's anxious and she's always complaining, you better understand that little Jeannie has had that since she was three, a complaining mother. So that lives within her. So you better be ready to
That's
deal
right.
with that. That's why you got to – these people that get married after 2 months and they're on honeymoon, idiot.
I've told you this before in relation to a certain presidential spokesperson, but I will tell you right now that Amadoda ayadika, guys. It happens, right? He and his father-in-law have similar personalities that trigger these women into being nightmares. Take some blame, guy. Some accountability.
It takes two to tango.
Good morning, guys, says Casey. A bully in my eyes is someone who actually enacts physical harm. I raise my two fuckers, he says, with a stick and stone attitude. Oh, yeah. And I've been banned for the sixth time on Facebook due to my bitch-made contacts reporting my posts. That's Casey. You know, Casey is pretty hardcore because I've told you before, he doesn't mince his words. Casey looks like a Taliban version of Trevor Gumby. I'm being kind, Casey, because that beard is quite scary.
Wow.
So Casey looks like that, and he clearly does not care what people think of him, so good for him.
I love his messages. He's always giving it the big one.
Yeah, and he's told you a number of times what he thinks of you.
Oh, he has. Listen, I dish it out. You got to be able to take it. If you got a big mouth, you got to be willing to take the blowback. So
absolutely.
Always happy to hear.
All right, there are a few things that I know you guys wanted to bring up, but let me remind you, as a South African, you can now bet on the outcome of international lotteries like the Super Enalotto, which is with Lottoland. The Super Enalotto is an Italian lottery. It is now standing at 1.1 billion rand. Yes, that's billion with a B. Draw time is tonight at 8 o'clock in the evening, South African time. Go along and bet on Lottoland. lottoland.co.za. Lottoland is licensed with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. You have to be 18 years or older to place a bet. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling Toll-Free Counseling Line is 0800-006-008. So, I haven't spoken to Pumi and to Mbolelo about this, but we touched on it briefly yesterday, and I saw Woody was asking today, is it true that the SABC is serious about the Netflix thing? You know, that they want Netflix and other service providers to gather TV license money for them. It's just unbelievable, hey? I think we've got to comment on that, because I haven't heard what you, Pumi, and what you, Mbolelo, think of this. But people are furious. People are furious about this.
It's what Pumi and her German folks might call unglaublich. Pumi, I'll let you take it.
You know, I saw this, and I was... this after I got an SMS telling me that I owe my TV license. And I was just like, there was a time. There was a time, guys, where they used to try and tell us that a TV license is like your card disc. If you have a TV, you need to pay the license.
Their tagline, it's the right thing to do.
I think it remains their tagline. Yes. But it's actually galling for me, the TV license issue. Because it's, you know this, it's one of my bugbears, is we pay too much tax in this country.
Uh-huh.
And the streaming thing and the way that SABC has been run into the ground, and I deal with the SABC guys, the level of crazy that is happening over there, it's terrible. But it's like a whole lot of other things in the country. It's just a slow draining away of skills and brains, and then we have to pay for it. I don't want to have to pay for it. I think the thing for me about it, which is also quite galling, is how the SABC under the wonderful Mr. Saudi Mutsuning.
Oh, remember him?
So
he was great, huh? He was terrific.
Reality.
So you know, they essentially sold the soul of the organization by A, putting it on the DSTV bouquet. I don't think it should be on the DSTV bouquet. They must put it on its own. And then maybe there would be a reason to pay for a TV license, right? And then there's the PSL now, which has now become the DSTV Premier Soccer League, is also, fuck them. Fuck them, actually.
Okay, well, there's Pumi's opinion. Mbolelo, what did you want to say about it after that?
It was so, you know, calculated and well thought out. And then at the end, actually, fuck them.
Yeah, precisely.
I should have gone first. Tough to match that, because I agree with the takeaway. But, you know, the reason why this company is a really kind way to put it, why they're closing down, is this type of thinking. And for me, maybe I'm biased, but sport always leads the way in terms of how we consume, right? So for me, I don't even watch NFL. So my favorite sports, Premier League, NFL. All right, Premier League I still watch on DSTV. But I watch NFL. I've got an app. I pay $100 a month for that. I can watch every single game. I watch the NFL with 6 different camera angles live on my phone in a warm bed. The SABC are what we call an analog product in a digital time. This is why they're dying. The fact that they don't realize that cutting the cord is no longer a cool thing for marketing people to say, it's already happened. If you're saying cutting the cord now, you're 10 years behind. And this is mental.
And there was a plan. You say 10 years behind. I mean, there is a plan, or was a plan, which, probably about 15 years old, a plan to, and it was called Digital Zonga, actually.
Yes, that's right. No, they did. They were going to. Do you remember Faith?
I thought that was a wonderful name myself. I myself thought that is a fantastic name, which was a plan to digitalize the SABC.
What is
years ago, Zonga South. It's South. The vendor word for South. So digital South.
Do you remember that Faith Mutambi was in charge of communications at a certain stage, and for her entire tenure,
before Faith.
Yeah.
I think it was, I want to say it's Piwe Nyanda or something like that. One of those, I mean, one of those.
Someone ages ago. Old
generals of the ANC.
Sorry, Jesus. I just want to say, Gareth, right now I'm in a safe space and you just had showed a microaggression by mentioning Faith's name in my presence.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that, but you can handle it because you were bullied at school. Beth says, yeah, Mbulelo, they want you to license your phone too. Any streaming device, apparently.
So we've taught you a few sort of words here, generally in Zulu or Xhosa. You can tell them, folks, bayahlanya. Tell them that, bayahlanya.
Bayahlanya.
I had a stronger word, yes?
No, what's yours?
I had a stronger word, you know that.
What's your stronger word?
I'm going to.
Come on, Pums. I know you're well-mannered, but come on, we need to learn this word. Just like we learned the word zitanda the other day. What?
Yo! Oh, Jess!
That's the word.
What is it?
That's the word. Bayanya.
Bayanya.
Lovely word.
Well,
I really, it was, I was clear. It's not, I mean, this streaming service conversation is not a new service and a new conversation, and it wasn't started by the SAPC. I mean, this was some months ago, I would almost say last year, that it actually came from MultiChoice. It came from the wonderful Calvo Mawela, who was, I think he is no longer, but he was the then CEO of MultiChoice. He was the CEO of MultiChoice, and that was the first that this idea was mooted, that streaming services such as Netflix have to be taxed in South Africa because they are stealing away their viewers. Don't you remember this conversation, guys?
I do.
Calvo started this conversation, and now the SAPC is just jumping on the bandwagon. There are lots of things to be said about the is the right word incestuous uh-huh. relationship that the SAPC and DSTV have.
Yeah, it's
because
revolting.
Before he was the CEO of MultiChoice, young Calvo was also he was the what do they call it? Lobbying executive or something of that.
Okay, so that's the guy who would have gone to government.
Which is an apt title to have when you are the son-in-law of one Gwede Mandashe.
Oh, nice. Oh. Okay, well.
Oh,
by the goodness. Way, Mbulelo, you haven't made any jokes about Gwede and his drinking for weeks. Have you heard something that we haven't?
Listen, I understand that post-lockdown, the shakes are stopping because he doesn't need to do it at home anymore. So now it's just back to normal, you know, Monday. So it's not like he's saving it for him and Tabo Shakes on a Thursday. Now they're out here. With those terrible ANT leather jackets.
Bye, man. Leather jackets, come on.
Those are terrible jackets. They are so bad.
BMW convoys.
Yes,
terrible.
Yes,
it's like these 75-year-old men trying to be cool, like 60s bikers. Are you kidding me? You're embarrassing. You're embarrassing.
He's not trying to be cool. He's a tiger.
Oh, is that the term? We tiger.
No, Gareth. Tell the man why Gwede is a tiger. Tell the man he obviously has forgotten. There was a whole scandal with sex and everything.
You don't know that Gwede.
You don't know about this.
He's a sex predator.
Yes. No.
All right.
Wow.
Leave that goblin in the yellow and black alone, says Monwabisi, the tiger. So Monwabisi agreeing with Pumi largely. Yeah, Gwede. That's pretty much any speech made by Gwede in the last 10 years. And you could put any words you like into that, but that's what he says. If there was a Muppet that didn't ever make any sense but said things, it would be Gwede Mantashe.
It's because all of that shivers has burnt his throat. That's why nothing can come out. If there's one guy that drives me insane, Gwede Mantashe, letting Xhosa people down since the beginning. Yer, Gwede. Yo, I'm sorry, Gary. That is one guy when I see his face.
All the shivers has burnt the throat. All right, we've got to get ready for the burning platform. Let's do this. Next up, Pumi and Canthan level up again for the burning platform, which I know you're excited about. I know I am. That is next, and you can join us. It's brought to you by Nando's, who have brought you the burning platform for, yes, 6.5, 7 years of the burning platform. And yes, it's incredible. We started off with Justice Malala. We have continued with Canthan Pele. Pumi is a regular. She's back on the beat now with the burning platform, and you can be too on cliffcentral.com. You can listen to us on the app. You can watch us live if you go to cliffcentral.com by clicking on the link, and you can also listen to the podcasts at any time that it suits you. Loads of things to get excited about this morning. CliffCentral.com